Hey guys, welcome to the Championship Rounds. Just wanted to leave everyone with a quick message to kick things off. If you guys enjoy fight analysis and breakdowns, predictions, interviews, and more, be sure to subscribe to me on iTunes and Spotify, as well as downloading episodes so you don't miss out on any. Appreciate the love and support. Let's get on with the show.
This is the Championship Rounds with your host, Matthew Amayo.
Everybody, welcome to the show. Hope all you listeners are doing great, enjoying that extra hour of sleep. Daylight savings time and all taking place on Saturday night. That's not the only thing that took place on Saturday night, because UFC 230 was also last Saturday night. I'm going to help you guys break that down today. Please forgive me. I'm coming down with something. I feel like everybody's coming down with something. It's that time of year. My fiance Jamie has some migraine or headache that she's been wrestling with for the past week or so. Everyone at her work is feeling sick, and they're not staying home. They're all going to work, crammed up in a little office building. I hope I don't catch something. It could possibly prevent me from even doing this podcast. And daylight savings time is something I'm not quite fond of. You know, I hate it when it gets struck by 4 p.m. You start to get exhausted by 8 p.m. You know, we tend to complain that there's not enough time in the day, and these days seem to drag on longer, but it's not ideal. It's not what we had in mind. I'll never get used to it. You know, I can't wait till spring rolls around, once March rolls around, and we get sun till about 8:30. But enough about daylight savings time. UFC 230 was last Saturday night. Gonna help you break that down, tell you what stood out to me, what's meaningful heading into 2019, my favorite moments from that particular card. It was a great card. I had a lot of fun watching it. Great prelims. Main card was solid. We're going to talk about it. Once again, part of my sniffles. So, Saturday night, Daniel Cormier defended the UFC Heavyweight Championship against Derek Lewis in the main event. I'm going to break that down later. We got a new star at middleweight. He kicked off the main card last Saturday night. And what we can truly say as a real coming out party. A night full of great and spectacular finishes, submissions, knockouts. Overall, a very, very solid card produced by the UFC. But let's talk breaking news for now. Got some breaking news coming out of this weekend. Coming out of the MMA realm or boxing or who truly knows. So I'm going to get down to it. Live from a press conference in Tokyo, Japan, Floyd Mayweather announced a partnership with Ryzen Fighting Federation. In about to take place next month, live from Saitama, Japan. From the Saitama, was that the Saitama Super Arena or the Saitama Dome? I believe it's a Super Arena. The Saitama Super Arena. So it's going to take place New Year's Eve, December 31st. He's going to fight kickboxing star Tenshin Nasukawa in rules that are yet to be determined. But we could only predict that the rules are going to be altered. They're going to be slightly altered to favor Floyd Mayweather. Can we call this his MMA debut? I don't know. I really don't. Because they're going to alter the rules to favor Floyd Mayweather, where there could be no kicking involved, no takedowns involved. None of that. So say what you want about this fight being made. Don't take it seriously. It's a money grab. That's all it is. And it could be used to set up something in the future. I mean, Floyd's a smart guy, you know, along with being a tremendous fighter and being one of the greatest of all time, he's a businessman, right up there with the best of them. But you can't possibly take this seriously. As long as this fight is taking place overseas, especially in a league like Ryzen, you know, Ryzen is the only viable option for Floyd to fight in potentially altered rules. They were going to be the only company to remotely do that for him. Bellator's not going to do that for him. Anywhere in the States isn't going to do that for him. Obviously not the UFC. ONE FC, 1FC is doing great. Not 1FC, sorry. They're now known as 1 Championship. 1 Championship's not even going to do that. They're not going to do that. They're competition. Even though they're overseas, they're still competition to Bellator and the UFC. It's a money grab, plain and simple. So no kicking, no takedowns, what have you. We don't know. That could be part of it. But you can't help but think that with Floyd Mayweather being involved, the money team, Leonard Ellerbe, his manager, you can't help but think that. So, is this an exhibition? Is this an official MMA debut? Ryzen is the only recognizable name out there. Who would even contemplating sanctioning this? You know, say what you want about Conor McGregor. You can't slander him no more. People are out there who aren't particularly fond of Conor McGregor, can't say anything to him anymore. You can't compare Mayweather's move to MMA compared to the venture that Conor McGregor took into the boxing world. I mean, you can't call this MMA at this point. Is this an exhibition? Conor, when he made his pro debut, his pro boxing debut, that counted in the history books as a legitimate professional boxing bout. If you look on Wikipedia, if you look on boxrec.com, you're going to see that count against Conor McGregor on his professional boxing record. And if you were to look at Floyd Mayweather, you're going to see that tallied up with the rest of his wins. So what exactly are we calling Floyd's venture? Why not have Floyd go through a real training camp with a gym and prepare for a fight with unified rules? You know, I could be getting ahead of myself once again, and the rules could be regular rules. But for right now, we have no rules, no weight limit, no gloves, no rounds, nothing. But trust me, Floyd wouldn't last around in there with the fighter of the caliber of Nasukawa. If anything, it gives Nasukawa the shine and publicity that he deserves. You know, nothing new has been announced besides the details I just gave you. So we're going to move on. Some boxing. This Saturday night, we got Tony Bellew stepping up to the challenge and staying at cruiserweight to fight, in my opinion, the scariest guy on planet Earth, Alexander Usyk, to determine the undisputed cruiserweight champion. I could tell you right now, absolutely difficult fight for Bellew. If you haven't seen Usyk fight, I recommend that you do. An absolute physical specimen. Southpaw, great combination puncher, power with every punch he throws. I mean, this guy can knock you down with a jab type power. That's what he has. That's what he possesses. Tremendous head movement. Great counterpunching ability. If you watch his highlights on YouTube, the guy, he's really smooth and fluid when he's in there for a cruiserweight. Really quick. Great combinations that he throws. The ability to power punch. And he has the potential to put Bellew away early. You know, it's not going to be a walk in the park by any stretch of the imagination for either guy, because Tony Bellew is still an elite cruiserweight. But I can't help but think that Usyk takes this, and he puts him away early. And that fight's going to take place in Manchester Arena, live on DAZN here in the United States, Sky Sports in the UK. So if you guys are curious and you guys want to watch that matchup, that's definitely a matchup to go ahead and watch. Some additional news to go over. Ben Askren finally has an opponent, and it happens to be one of the guys that he didn't call out. But a great fight nonetheless. He'll be fighting Robbie Lawler in January, so look out for that. Calvin Gastelum is set to challenge Robert Whittaker for the middleweight title in the land down under. Nonito Donaire advances in the World Boxing Super Series, and I think that about does it for news. I hope I'm not forgetting anything. You know, a lot of stuff happened in the world of MMA and boxing, and a lot of big fights that are about to take place in 2019. But the UFC 230 card is what we're here for. Talking about the main card, who won, what transpired, the fallout from what took place on Saturday night live from Madison Square Garden. So let's get right to it. First fight of the night, Stylebender. The last Stylebender, Israel Adesanya, fought top 10 middleweight Derek Brunson in the grudge match of sorts. lots of trash talk leading up to this fight, with some trash talk even taking place during the fight. You know, Stylebender only needed one round to end it, and it was one of the more impressive rounds I've seen from anybody in quite some time. You know, Derek Brunson is no slouch. He's a three-time D2 All-American wrestler. Couldn't take Stylebender down to save his life. Stylistically, no pun intended, it was a mismatch. Derek Brunson established underhooks right away and tried to get Stylebender down to the ground, which is the right game plan. But testament to Stylebender, he wouldn't go down. He refused to go down. Brunson tried everything. He tried for low single leg takedowns. He used the fence, high crotch takedowns, everything in the book. His tendency to push forward and be aggressive became his eventual downfall. And Stylebender was there to take advantage. He caught Brunson coming in, rocked him with a kick, picked his shots, got a flurry of knees in there. There was a beautiful combination in there that he threw. It was like a question mark kick followed up with a straight right that knocked Brunson down. And the rest is history from there. And that was Israel Adesanya's true coming out party. You know, he could definitely be next in line for the winner, Robert Whittaker versus Kelvin Gastelum. Or if you wanted to take the slightly slower route, have him fight a guy like Yoel Romero or Luke Rockhold. You know, either way, it doesn't matter. He's arrived, and he's primed for a fight with plenty of recognition, a big money fight, a title fight. So we're going to be keeping a very close eye on Stylebender as he approaches the top of the heap at 185 pounds. Next fight of the night. The next fight of the night was Carl Roberson versus Jack Marshman in a scrappy fight. Both guys came out swinging from opening bell. Roberson showed some pretty slick head movement in round one and was looking to counter. Marshman was doing a lot of pushing forward. He's being aggressive, picking his shots as well, trying to get in there, trying to get inside. But Roberson showed great movement, great defense. In the second, it was kind of more of the same. Marshman pressed some more. Roberson was really controlling the pace of the fight, moving on the outside. Late in the second, Roberson actually landed a beautiful double leg and was working predominantly from the sideman position to close out the second round. At this point, you know, as the third round went on, Marshman didn't really have anything else to offer, and Roberson secured another beautiful double leg to seal a unanimous decision victory. So congrats to Carl Roberson on a convincing victory over a tough guy. Moving on to the third fight of the main card, we have UFC vet David Branch against journeyman Jared Cannonier, who has lost three of his last five fights. First round was great. David Branch looked good to start off the fight. Branch decided to stop entertaining Cannonier on the feet, quite frankly. Took him down and even took his back. Tried to sink in a choke. But both guys ended up getting back to their feet. Once the second round started, from what I remember, Cannonier landed a right hook early and landed some heavy ground and pound and picked up the win against an accomplished guy like David Branch. It was easy work aside from the first round. The second round went great for Cannonier. And that's a star that we're looking at as well in that 185. He could possibly make a good run there. You know, all the losses that he did have and some of the wins that he did have took place at 205. And that might have been too much for him to handle. And at this stage in his career, 185 can be a viable home, could be a viable option. And 185 is looking good. You know, because this fight had a lot of fights at 185 pounds. So the middleweight class is looking pretty stacked. You know, with Stylebender coming out, Jared Cannonier coming out here and knocking out David Branch. You know, we got a lot of potential great fights at middleweight. Robert Whittaker being champion and beating Yoel Romero twice. You know, he's opened up the floodgates for fresher matchups. And I'm looking forward to it. We're going to see a lot of middleweight in 2019. And another 185-pound fight was the co-main event. You know, Chris Weidman making his return fighting Jacare Souza in a fight where I thought we saw a brand new Chris Weidman. A combination thrower Chris Weidman, and an improved boxer in Chris Weidman. You know, first round, you know, Weidman looked great. He controlled the pace of the fight. And his newly found boxing, he used that to catch Jacare off guard. You know, Jacare didn't really have an answer in the first round. You know, Chris Weidman pumped the jab more than I've ever seen him pump the jab before. His combinations were beautiful. They were flowing. He threw in some head movement in there. And he circled around Jacare, moved his feet. And, you know, we've seen Chris Weidman knock out guys, most notably Anderson Silva. But this was a different Chris Weidman. We haven't seen a combination puncher like this in Chris Weidman, who predominantly is a grappler. And it was quite refreshing to see. You know, a lot of guys aren't there on too big in Chris Weidman, but, you know, I got to take my hat off to him and give him the props that he deserves. It looks like he was working on something there, you know, with all those guys, that training camp with guys like Mark Henry and who else fights out of there? Eddie Alvarez, all those guys, all those New York guys. At this point, you know, by the time the second round rolled around, Jacare had enough and he started getting aggressive. He took the fight to Weidman. He got very, very aggressive. And I don't know if Weidman thought Jacare was going to end up in attack mode, but this time Weidman was the guy caught off guard. He was pressing. Jacare was relentless and he was pressing. And that continued, spilled to the third round. You know, at this point, I still had Weidman winning the fight, and I felt Jacare had the wherewithal to figure out he was behind. Definitely a better round for Jacare in the second round, but I still had Chris winning that 10-9. You know, both guys were pouring it on by the time the third round rolled around, the third round came around, and Weidman was still looking sharp. Jacare's nose was busted up, he was breathing through his mouth, and Weidman just looked really, really sharp in the stand-up department. But Jacare was still pressing and trying to tie up Weidman. He tried to get him in the clinch. He tried a dirty box. And until he landed an overhand right on the forehead to end the fight. A dangerous spot to land an overhand right and knocked him out. Well, he didn't knock him out cold, but he was on Queer Street. Chris Weidman had no idea where the hell he was at this point. So he knocks out Chris. Jacare Souza knocks out Chris Weidman in devastating fashion. Weidman suffers another heartbreaking loss in his home state of New York at Madison Square Garden under similar circumstances from when he fought Yoel Romero 2 years ago. If you don't remember that fight, 2 years ago, Weidman was up in the cards until Romero came in with a flying knee to knock Weidman out. Now, Weidman suffers a KO defeat in the third round and in a fight where you could totally see him being up for two rounds. I don't know how many times Weidman can keep going back to the drawing board. There are people out there who aren't big Weidman fans and have been hoping and praying for this downfall for quite some time. You know, I thought prior to the knockout, this was the best I've seen Weidman look his entire career as far as his boxing. I personally don't think it's time to hang it up just yet. He could get another title shot in the future, and I still definitely want to see him face Rockhold in a rematch, but who knows? Middleweight is looking better and better every year with new guys coming in, like Stylebender. So there's fresh options out there for Weidman. You know, he's going to have to go back to the drawing board, go back to that camp, you know, work with guys like Mark Henry, his head coach Ray Longo. And he's going to go back from the bottom to the top again. You know, he's done it before. You know, it's unfortunate for a guy with the talent like Weidman to go this far down the rankings. I really don't. I don't think that he's gonna stay there forever. He'll be back one day. Will it be a title shot? He could get there. But there's still plenty of great matchups there for Chris Weidman at 185 pounds. That does it there for the co-main event. So it's main event time, guys. History was made in the UFC heavyweight title fight between Daniel Cormier and Derek Lewis. DC won by rear naked choke and becomes the first fighter to successfully hold and defend both titles, both the UFC light heavyweight title and the UFC heavyweight title. How did he do it? Easy. Grappling. Every single scenario was near perfect. DC hit the low single, controlled the fight with his wrestling, controlled Lewis on the ground, got the back, secured the choke. It's just another night at the office for Daniel Cormier. You know, some of you maybe asking why this fight even took place. Why it even took place at all. Well, heavyweight contenders aren't necessarily at an abundance right now. And honestly, Derek Lewis earned the shot, especially by knocking out Volkov last month. I consider the fight necessary, solely because of Lewis being ranked as high as he was, and the fact that this Madison Square Garden card was in dire need of a main event. It didn't really have a main event a month leading in. So we needed to see this fight happen. We needed to fill that main event somehow, especially when the UFC tries to produce these New York cards and tries to stack them to the best of their ability. So still undisputed UFC heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier. Brock Lesnar is next for sure. There's absolutely no way DC is fighting anyone else at this point. I don't mind the matchup personally, but that's me speaking as a big-time pro wrestling fan. DC and the UFC brass do not mind at all. Pay-per-view buy rates are going to skyrocket, and DC comes out with another easy victory, and they're just going to rake in the dough. How I see this panning out is we have DC fighting Lesnar sometime in 2019. Then I can't help but think that Stipe fights around the same time as they do, potentially leading to a DC Stipe Miocic rematch. That's if DC doesn't retire, because I know he's been kind of hinting at retirement, being 39 years old and all. But we also got other guys waiting in the wings. Francis Ngannou is fighting Curtis Blaydes at the end of the month, and whoever wins that should be in line for a title shot also. Derek Lewis can mount a comeback and maybe fight either Ngannou or Curtis Blaydes for all I care. But for right now, we're going to do a lot of waiting. So we kind of have a logjam of sorts, because we have Lesnar coming back after being absent from the UFC for the last 2 years or so after beating Mark Hunt in quite an uneventful fight. And not to mention pissing hot and testing positive. So with this storyline happening and taking place, we really don't know what to make of heavyweight at this point right now, because Brock Lesnar is kind of holding it ransom, whereas hardcore fans would want to see DC rematch Stipe or fight the winner of Ngannou and Curtis Blaydes. But for right now, that Lesnar fight is the moneymaker. That's the one that odds are we're going to see next. You know, it turns out heavyweight isn't as washed as I thought that it was. Still plenty of eliminators and potential contenders who are going to want to step up and get the heavyweight strap. We're just going to have to wait and see. You know, that's enough UFC 230. We're going to close it out with the last segment of this episode, which is the fight of the week. The fight of the week is chosen by me, that can come from either the world of boxing or MMA, that I feel made an impact in combat sports history. Last week, I had Dan Henderson versus Shogun Hua. I hope you guys watched that fight. This week, we got boxing. So let's keep the heavyweight theme going. So we're going to talk heavyweight boxing now. Let's go with two fights. So the fights of the week will be Lennox Lewis versus Haseem Rahman 1 and 2 for the UFC for the heavyweight championship of the world in boxing. It was for the lineal belts, the lineal heavyweight titles. Rahman scored an upset knockout over Lewis in their first fight, knocking out Lewis in the fifth. Then in the second fight, Lewis got revenge and knocked out Haseem Rahman in the fourth. Both fights happened back in 2001. The reason why they fought in the first place, from doing prior research, was Lennox Lewis was campaigning for a fight against Mike Tyson. But I believe Mike Tyson tested positive for marijuana, which led to Haseem Rahman, who is relatively unknown at the time, stepping up to fight Lennox Lewis. And there was some bad blood. There's a famous clip on YouTube where they both were being interviewed on ESPN. And Lennox Lewis misconstrued Haseem Rahman's words. Apparently, he thought that Rahman said that he was gay. But what Rahman really meant was something that Lennox Lewis did was gay. He didn't say he was gay personally, just some of the actions that he did was gay. But I'm not sure that he was using gay in that context. I think he just thought that whatever Lennox Lewis did was pretty lame. And then Lennox Lewis tried to defend his sexuality, saying he was 100% ladies' man, and started talking about his sister, Haseem Rahman's sister, and his mom. It was hilarious. And then they didn't even throw punches. They were like Greco-Roman wrestling each other in the ESPN studio, and then the crew had to break it up. It's hilarious. But that fight took place about 17 years ago. They're important fights to me because, once again, Rahman was relatively unknown at the time and became an overnight sensation instantly and catapulted him to boxing stardom. And both guys didn't really like each other. And the fact that both their fights ended in a knockout was really quite fitting. So if you guys want to watch these fights, they're readily available on YouTube. So if you were to search Lennox Lewis, L-E-N-N-O-X, L-E-W-I-S, versus Haseem Rahman. Haseem Rahman is spelled H-A-S-I-M-R-A-H-M-A-N. And I believe as soon as you search that, both the first and second fights should pop up instantly. But there you have it for this week's episode of the Championship Rounds. I'll be back next week, and we'll be sure to talk more MMA and boxing. If you guys want to support the Championship Rounds podcast, be sure to subscribe to me on iTunes or Spotify and hit that download button. Even leave a comment and a rating if you enjoy listening. But that's it for this week. We'll be back. We'll talk more fights. You guys have a good rest of your week, and just want to thank all of you for joining me tonight. You guys take care.